Okay, I think we're live. So hi all, welcome to the episode 22 of the All About Wrestling podcast. Well, we've come up to now double game week 22 finally, after much of debate whether United and Leeds win double. People were praying that hopefully they don't draw the game, the FA Cup game, the replays don't happen. But finally, yes, we are 100% having game week 22. And right on the screen, we have three players, out of which two are going to be owned by most of the managers. And maybe triple captain even. Let's see where the discussion is going to take. So that's with that. How did your game week 21 go, guys? This will be the talking points. We'll cover it up a bit later. But we'll start with game week 21. How did it go?
I captain Haaland, so I'm okay.
I don't even want to go there.
Did you not captain Haaland by any chance?
I went for a bold move and I captained De Bruyne.
I think we need this insider news, right? Every time Suresh misses Haaland captaincy, you know it's a mega, mega game becoming.
Seriously, man. I mean, whenever I haven't captained this time, It has been that way. I know.
Let's see whether this week, whether it is going to be much different. Anyways,
so good game week. Primarily enjoyed the matches, right? More than the game week itself. I think some strong matches there before in the last game week, right? Liverpool Chelsea was great to see. Then I think City played really well, back to their form. Arsenal United was kind of a good game as well to watch.
Someone is gloating.
This is the first time this year that all of us are together, by the way. This is the first time this year all of us are together.
That's true, yeah. Perfect time. Miss and match. True. Damn, man, I wish I skipped this as well. I didn't want to talk about that game.
I mean, nothing to be embarrassed about, right? You guys played really well. I mean, almost took away the draw. Right?
Nevertheless, I don't want to talk about that game. But other than that, game week 21 was good enough in terms of football, obviously, as Watson Kulp said. And it was a fairly high-scoring game, we could say. Because of Haaland, whoever captained him, I mean, obviously, you know, what the score would have been. I mean, everyone's half the points from their team would have been through Haaland. So that's how game week 21 went. And there was a very narrow side of, you know, gaining points with most of the, you know, supposedly players that we got in for doubles from Spurs and all didn't get up. Like Doherty, who ended up going to Atletico, tearing his contract from Spurs. But he did a good thing because he will not get a price drop. So at least we have enough time to think, decide who to get. That's okay. The only one benefit we've got there. Other than that, I think it was a fairly high-scoring week. There's nothing much to talk because hardly we remember what happened because of the FA Cup games. So I think let's quickly move on to the transfer trends. That's what we're seeing so far. What were the price rises over the last few weeks? And obviously the names up here are pretty much the players who have been scoring points consistently are going to have great fixtures over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think
any standout names, Uncle? Apart from, I mean, any particular standout names in the list that we see here?
I mean, I really like the fact that people are still going for Mitoma in spite of the fact that 25th is a blank. I'm personally thinking of doing it this week. I know everyone is going to jump on, you know, the double game week players. But Mitoma is looking so, so good. So, I mean, really good. And they have three good fixtures, I would say. You know, two at home. And it's a short-term punt, but I'm really happy, you know, to see that because of the blank, not everyone will be going for Mitoma. At the same time, while a lot of us are completely into Bruno, KDB, Bruno kind of moves, right? Or KDB, Bruno, KDB moves. Mahrez is starting to look like a solid option now. I mean, fingers crossed that you never know with Pep. But I think after a long time, this is perhaps his best form, right? In 2 to 3 seasons now. Right? So anyone looking at such differential moves?
Differential, I wouldn't. I mean, the one name that is not in this price list, or probably I'm, you know, planning to get in is Harry Kane. So as a long-term pick, I know Sankalp, you already own Harry Kane, right? So despite the City fixture, I'm kind of in a position where I can get him because I have the money. I have certain moves that I have planned in. But yeah, that's one of the moves which is not so popular to transfer in option this week. But for me, the one factor I wanted to check with you is Eddie Nketiah. So what would you suggest? Should people wait on for the double game week next week, or is it still worth enough to go ahead and early, you know, get on the bandwagon kind of a thing?
So I was checking the stats for where Everton conceded the chances, and they conceded close to 58% of the chances from the central areas. I mean, it's overwhelmingly from the central area. So I was trying to, you know, convince myself why I should not sell Martinelli this time, right? And why I should wait a week out, and perhaps, you know, some stat will stand out. But I saw that everything is in favor of Eddie, actually. So far, Everton have looked not really good from central areas. Again, there's a manager change. We do not know what will come out of it, right? Because Dice might completely change things, change structure. You might have a new manager impact from the first day itself. And generally, you know, I really rate the manager. You know, Sean Dyche is a very good manager. He does magic from no player at all. So I don't know what to expect, but that's what the stat says. You know, they concede a lot from the central areas, and Eddie is a guy on form. While there are always been the questions, right, whether he will play, how many weeks will he play, I think he's there around till game week 27. I feel he has a good strong run ahead, right? And given the fact that we don't blanket 25 anymore, I mean, if you're looking for a punt, and if you're looking for, you know, an option up front, Eddie's really, really coming out as a strong option. Talking about Kane, by the way,
I was this close of Eddie Nketiah getting him last week. Just that it was against United that stopped me, because I was almost throwing out Martial and getting in Eddie Nketiah. Probably I should have done that.
Where did you go, by the way? Did you go somewhere else?
I rolled the transfer instead last week. So
that's good. I decided to go for Ferguson from Brighton. The guy scored. He came off the bench and scored. But, you know, damn that tackle. Right? He's injured again.
If Sankalp sees Fabinho, we are going to have a proper fight. Because Fabinho looks sure. like Sankalp's brother. So
if I have hot tea in my hand, I'll just throw it on his face.
Okay, we just got some news that one of the poster boys on our screen, that was Rodrigo, is out for 2 months.
2 months, yeah. Okay. I was about to tell that.
So there you go. I think that's a good way of to tell people don't go in that trap now. Forget Leeds for now.
I think I don't see a reason unless you have, you know, you have multiple other key assets whom you can get in this week, or, you know, even target the future game weeks. Leeds is the least priority that one might think of, you know, unless you are short of cash, unless you are, you know, there is, if it is enabling some other move, probably only in that scenarios I would suggest anyone go in your Leeds. At least don't keep this double game week in mind. Don't be short-sighted with that. I would say you still have pretty good players from United. You have Arsenal and City coming up next week. So I think there are enough players to pick from.
Correct. I think we always get sucked into that double game week, right? Like, okay, worst case, we are going to get 4 points or 6 points, right? But it's very tricky. I remember last season, you know, most of us went double forward of Watford, right? And what a tragic game week it was, right? You know, someone giving us a minus one. I think King was benched for one game. He gave 1 point or 2 pointer. I, in fact, out of anger, I had wildcarded that team the next week itself. I just don't want to see these players, right? And that's why it's very important that you don't get sucked into double game weeks. I mean, double game weeks are very good in case you find some good teams playing it. For example, United this week, Arsenal City next week. But other than that, you have to be really worried to, you know, just overload on these players just for one game week. Think that, okay, I'll get good. Maybe I'll get something good. But normally it doesn't happen. Bad teams are bad teams, even if, you know, they play it twice.
Now we're looking at the key price drops. I think there's one question about Rashford triple captain in the chat. We will be covering a bit on triple captain in some time. So just please hold on to that. Now, in terms of key price drops, obviously Miguel Almiron is someone who is on the, I think, charts for people offloading him for Mitoma. That's obvious move, which is going on. Wilfred Zaha is not a surprise. Mohamed Salah, yes. Liverpool are, I don't know what's going on there. Foden, again, I feel bad for managers who got betrayed there. I feel their pain. Mitrovic is someone who I'm looking to offload. And Mason Mount is priced 5 years accidentally. It's actually, I think, 7.4. If Mason Mount was 5, I think he would have 80% ownership in US.
I still doubt that. You know, that this is the kind of season he's having.
And speaking of Mitrovic, the guy seems to be fit and he is available for this game week. So there was a bit of doubts that's lingering around his fitness. So apparently it is confirmed that all players are fit from Fulham. So yeah, that's one positive on Mitrovic.
Kane is due a price drop. I've seen a lot of managers to work Kane to Eddie, you know, to fund maybe Almiron to...
Seriously, Bruno, Kane is due for a price drop?
He has around 1 lakh, I think 100,000 managers have already sold him this week. I was checking the number.
Sweet, man. I wish it happens tonight so that I can get him a 0.1 cheaper.
I'm not very convinced of that move. But it's primarily to get someone like Bruno. That's what people are doing. You know, dropping him to a Eddie and, you know, upgrading someone to a Bruno so that you have a double game week here and next week itself. Right? So, I think it's a short-term move, but might come back very strongly because while this week they play City at home, next week they play Leicester away. Right? And traditionally, Kane does really, really well against Leicester, especially home matches, especially the away matches. And then they play West Ham at home. Right, they're also not blanking in game week 25. They have good fixtures for a good amount of time. That's the problem with double game weeks, right? You start making these short-term moves and you sell off the players who you know will do well, who are on form, right? And sometimes it can so backfire.
I think the issue with Kane is that him being priced in that particular premium forward bracket, he kind of doesn't justify the price as what Haaland is doing at the moment or what Salah used to do over the past few years. Wearing that continuous 10-pointers, 7-pointers, 8-pointers. Kane is someone who gets you those, he scores a goal, he gets a 5, 6 points with assist. Doesn't end up with a bonus also, which is sometimes very surprising. And he doesn't justify the bracket. Whereas we have players like, for example, Nketiah, Mitrovic a few weeks back. And then Ivan Toney, who at the lesser price bracket are giving you those hauls and at least 5-6 pointers every week. I think that is why we are kind of seeing a lot of shift to and fro Kane. And I think Kane is more or less people look at him only when there is doubles, is what I am seeing at the moment. It's not like last year when we had Kane and Son just continuously hauling and it became a must of a double pick. But I think this season things are a bit different. I think that's why people are very hesitant to spend on the second premium forward. And that's why we are seeing, I think, Kane to Eddie and Almiron to Bruno or somewhere here. And so they end up keeping De Bruyne for next week. I think that's what is the movement going on now.
Yeah, I think still Kane, I would still really justify, you know, the guy is what, 18, 19 points short of what Haaland has scored. Of course, the value is high. Probably the second closest in terms of value to points conversion, I would say Ivan Toney. But the guy has got like 10, 20 penalties. I don't know. God knows how many penalties he has got. But if you take that penalty factor out, there is not even a single striker who is close to 100 points, you know, put together. So I think the premium segment, we have always kind of got used to the two premiums mostly. In the start of the season, many played around with the option of a premium kind of a structure as well. But given that Salah hasn't worked out really well for a very long time now, for the entire season, I think still it is... Kane produces a lot of value. Kane and Haaland, and you can still form a great structure around them.
You know, the funny thing is that's how it seems, right? It seems like Kane is not doing much, you know, he's not exploding, which is true. He's not exploding. He's just taking, he's just scoring, right? But he's still the second best, you know, point giver. I think he has 140 odd points. compared to Haaland was 169 points. He's second most across positions. And the best thing is, you know, I was looking at his bonus because Aditya mentioned the bonus points, right? He has 25 bonus points so far and Haaland has 26 bonus points. So it's not like he's dropping off. Somehow he's still there. It's not looking to our, you know, when you look at the matches or when you get to look at his returns, he's just not there there. But at the same time, he's giving you continuous points. And I think he's having a great season, right? He scored, I think, 15 or 16 goals. He will also break the record of last year's Golden Boot for sure, right? So that's my point. You know he's going to do well. I understand the attraction of going for someone like Bruno, someone like KDB, right? Who are, at least Bruno is on form. KDB is not there on form yet. And we're just hoping things, you know, explode during the double game week. But that's my point, that if you have someone who's doing well, who's just giving you points, right? Why play around? My biggest regret is when I started the post-World Cup, I went for Salah, KDB and Haaland, but I did not keep Kane because I like, oh, fix your setup, etc., etc. I mean, I should have.
Well, I played the devil's advocate here, going against Kane. I mean, just to get the conversation up front, because even I have Kane, I got in Kane, I had Kane pre-World Cup too.
But it's and, good as well, you know. You get to see different perspectives as well. But yeah.
Yeah, I took that. Otherwise, if all three of us would say the same thing, that's pointless. So.
Cut. Makes sense.
Anyways, let's move to the next segment quickly. That's the January transfer window. Yes, the window did shut close 2 days back. And obviously, we saw a lot of movements in and out from some club that was, you know, who.
I thought you'll put out one full page for that particular club, Aditya.
That club is right at the center. Can you
center?
Look at the importance.
What I was expecting is that will take the whole page, is what I was thinking, because they bought an entire team, so to say.
You need to justify but, the other 19 clubs too, right?
What a window, man. I mean, I can't still get my head around with the number of players that they have got. I mean, I don't even care what is the money spent anymore in terms of, you know, 70 million, 80 million. Those doesn't make any sense at all anymore. You know, those are long gone, I would say.
Look at the contract deals, right? 8.5 years, 7.5 years, right? They just amortize the shit out of everything. And, you know, FIFA has no way, right? Because they have just allowed that you know, loophole to be there. Thankfully, they are correcting it in the summer, but it will not apply on Chelsea anymore. So they have done what they wanted to do. They did it in one bit, right? So now I think next year they will be much more selective. But apart from Chelsea, if you look at Nottingham, Chelsea had, I think, 15 or 16 transfers they did entire season. Nottingham did 29 transfers this season in total.
And 29. There is one particular player which stands out. You know, at the bottom of Nottingham list, that's going to be really, really interesting. Nawaz is something, you know, who on earth would have imagined Nawaz playing, coming to,
playing in Nottingham Forest.
Coming to Premier League and playing in Nottingham. Of course, no offense to Nottingham, but just saying, you know, I never even thought of such a deal. But
that
in
is
terms
the
of transfer...
pool of the Premier League, right? It's
exactly.
The pool of playing in the league.
Exactly. And they have one other interesting player is Jonjo Shelvey. Just right in time for that United game for the Carabao Cup, you know. That I was fearing yesterday, if at all, if he is going to start and if there is going to be any injuries and stuff.
So he's out of the way.
There are a few interesting names at the moment on screen who I have a lot of hopes and expectations for. Obviously, I'm not going to talk about Jan Bednarek, who's gone back to Southampton after his loan recall. We all remember the most iconic game. But there are a few names here that are very good, high, good potential players. Especially we have Arnaud Danjuma, who's someone who all the way went to Everton, completed his medical and made a U-turn back to Spurs. This is quite
shocking. He promised fans that he will save Everton.
And then we have Pedro Porro again at Spurs. I think we need to see how well he plays. Danny Ings at West Ham. He always loves the maroon jersey clubs. He's following them. And then we have, I think, Matthias Cunha and all. We all know about him, how good he played at Hoffenheim. And then he went to Atletico. And then a few of the other players here, Mislav Orsic, who last year was almost transferred to Burnley enough for all the drama we had. And then Kamaluddin Sulemana is also someone with a high prospect. I think these are some of very astute signings the clubs have made. They're very smart with what they are working through
for
nowadays.
For me, the one of the interesting, one of the talk of the town was the transfer outs from Manchester City. You know, particularly one particular name. Of course, we are going to talk about him in detail and replacement options in the upcoming slides. But that was quite a shocker. You know, that came out of nowhere. Now, suddenly, if you look at City's defensive lineup, you don't get that sort of a confidence feel. Somehow, that kind of a drop for me. If you ask me, if I want to go anywhere near Man City defense, still they would keep probably more clean sheets than any other team. But the confidence level dropped at a very huge level. You know, that's something which I didn't see coming at all. But otherwise, there are a couple of teams who really didn't strengthen much. Liverpool added just Capco. You know, they have their midfield issues, but yet they didn't, sort things out, or, you know, not even loan deals. I was expecting at least some sort of loan moves could happen. But I kind of understand Liverpool and, you know, Manchester United are in a similar boat where the ownership changes and talks and stuff are going on. So probably, yeah.
I think Anthony Gordon to Newcastle also is a good signing. That is someone to watch. I think one of the best astute business done is by Arsenal, no doubt. Because they got in Trossard for such a good price and obviously Jorginho. I think there is something definitely going on at Arsenal that people are not...
They want to seal the title, man. Pretty simple. I wish Sankalp the other day... The man got pissed at me for jinxing it. You know, that's what I'm saying. See, there is no one on the earth who can jinx Arsenal except for Arsenal. So it is your title to lose from here on.
So Sankalp, start jinxing.
I think I'm very happy with the Trossard buy for sure. You know, the other two are... Jorginho, for example, is a Elneny replacement. I don't expect him to start much. But Trossard really brings, helps Martinelli, because earlier Martinelli, Saka, these players used to play like 90 minutes every week. It was never going to be sustainable. At some point of time, you had to take them out. And Trossard comes from a team who plays a similar system, right? Brighton are very flexible, very tactical, flexible team, very attacking team. And that helps. I know this transition will be smoother, right? So that's when he came on in the United match. He was already almost like, he looked like he was part of a team. Right? It felt like it was a third or fourth match with us rather than the first match itself, right? So that bit I'm really happy with. Again, that really cuts down or, you know, brings out the discussion again of Martinelli again. Whether Martinelli will continue to get his minutes, whether there's going to be a change of starts, etc., right? And it's going to be a good discussion for sure. But overall, happy with that signing for sure, because we needed one more player at least up front to bring some depth into it. I like Southampton. The signings that Southampton have done. Again, I know it's Southampton. He's a new manager. We don't know what will happen. But both Orsic is a winger from Zagreb. And we have Sulemana, who's a very, very talented striker. So these are two players that, because it's Southampton, people are not taking note. But I think at some point of time, if the fixtures are favorable and we see them hitting form, we might go for these, you know, short-term, mid-term points on that third striker slot. Sulemana, I'm hoping is around 6-6.5, so hoping he doesn't cross it. And if he's there, then he'll be someone I will have my eyes on.
Yeah, just going back to your Arsenal discussion about Jorginho, he's such a good addition on the overall, you know, such a strength to your midfield. So there was one bit of discussion in one of our WhatsApp groups, whether, you know, Jorginho coming in, whether there is a threat for Saka in terms of his penalties. I don't think so. You know, correct me if I'm wrong in my understanding. As you told, Jorginho is not going to be a starter week in, week out. The pen responsibility is still going to be with Saka. It would be wild if he comes in straight away and takes penalties.
I mean, one-off cases, you never know, you know, as if to give him a welcome,
Yeah.
etc. But here in our team, the talisman is surely Saka, right? He's the guy who leads the team, right? He's the leader, you know, on the pitch, and the ball always goes to him. He demands a lot of ball and takes on it. So I don't expect that to change at all. I know people, just because Jorginho is a penalty taker, you know, people are like, hey, he'll miss out on pens, but I think Jorginho will come mostly towards the last 10, 15 minutes to manage the game. Or maybe, you know, sometimes to rest someone. But more or less, Saka remains the top guy, first guy to take the penalty. I don't think that changes.
Yeah, I think
I
quite a
think enough,
discussion
a lot
on
of transfers
yeah
discussions here. I think we need to look at what's right in front of us. That's obviously we need to look at the upcoming blanks and doubles. As in how we are going to look at them. Obviously, 22 we have with us, sorry, with United and Leeds, and then Arsenal and City in 23, 25 when being a blank, and then potentially we have somewhere around 29, I think. So, Sankalp, what is your initial planning at the moment? What are you looking to do?
Right, but the issue is I was hoping that Liverpool defeats Brighton. That would have ensured that Brighton doesn't have a blanket 25. Now they do, right? So I'm going to get Mitoma. I'm still, you know, very convinced. If you look at the fixtures, right, next three it has Bournemouth at home, Fulham at home, and Palace away, right? So I'm pretty much convinced that they score in each of these three matches, and most of it is going via Mitoma. So I still want to get Mitoma. Now most of us have two to three Newcastle players, two to three United players. Right, I think all of us will end up with three. Right? So now you have close to five to six players who will be on a blank in game week 25. How to get rid of them and where do you go is going to be the most crucial thing, right? I'm pretty much thinking I might not end up with 11 players, and I feel that I'm okay with it, right? Unless something like if you see, you know, Ben Kelden's sheet and the guy does such an amazing job. If you see, there are two teams which might get a double, Liverpool and Wolves. I don't think Wolves is that much attractive of a team, but you never know. You might get a clean sheet out of you know Bueno there from your defense. But other than that, Liverpool will perhaps be a team that will be my short-term punt, right? You might want to go there where they go again. They play United at home next, and then they play Bournemouth, right? So it's a good you know favor. I don't think they'll do really well against United, but it will be a good flavor to see, right? So that's one way of moving out of things. Else, which is the team that you want to, you know, really move to? I think Chelsea has 24th has Southampton at home. They play Tottenham away, but then they have Leeds, then they have Leicester, right? Again, this is a team that most of us are not on, right? Currently, as things stand, I think most of us have Kepa at max, right? Forward, midfielder, defense, neither of us have. So you start looking at players like Modric, right? Is he going to have a good impact? How's he playing? Or someone like Havertz, right? Or now that we know both James and Chilwell are back training, right? Hoping that in the next 2 weeks, one of these guys come out, right? So you know, we have to start looking at, you know, how do we minimize this 5-2 back to 2 or 3, back to 4, 3 to 4, right? So basically, you have to plan out your next three transfers. Be it in defense, be it in midfield, be it in attack. And that's going to be really crucial because that will determine when you use your wild card. Because if you screw up a bit, I think at some point of time, somewhere in 28 or 29, you will think of using a wild card, right? Perhaps 29 is when people will think of moving a wild card, or you can plan your free hit, etc. One of the most important things that I wanted to ask you guys is 28. It's a huge blank game week. What are the plans? Are you guys thinking of free hit? Are you guys thinking of, you know, just checking it? How do you plan to move it?
Yeah, I
I
mean,
think
for me, it is. Sorry, go ahead, Aditya.
no, go on, go on. You start. I'll wait.
No, for me, it is 28 is still quite a long distance for me. You know, there is at least 5, 6 game weeks in between, so you can still slowly start planning either by navigating that game week, you know, without any chip, because Arsenal has a game. You know, that's one standout option where you get. Three players at least. We most likely are going to have three players from Arsenal. Given Chelsea's run, probably that's another option where you can start slowly piling up players from Chelsea. And of course, Newcastle, either you're going to retain how you're going to tackle 25, as you rightly mentioned, and then take it forward on the long run. So you can still have somewhere between, let's say, 7 to 8 players, tentatively, even for 28 without any major chip. Just by carefully planning your chips. But otherwise, you can. I mean, that would be my ideal choice if you ask me. If you start planning now, probably dead end your team in 28, wild card in 29. That could be one option. Or else you can, free it in 28, then play your wild card, our bench boost in 29. It will be my long term look at this point of time. But that will be, way too much of overthinking at this point. For me now, as you told, the primary focus should be the next 4 game weeks. How to navigate 25. As you rightly mentioned, you pretty much summarized it. The only point that I would add for 25 is that it is okay to play even if you have, let's say 9, 10 players. Going without one or two players, that's still fine. So don't overthink 25. You still have very good players. You don't want to get rid of the likes of Rashford or Luke Shaw. Or for that matter, Newcastle defenders, be it Botman or Trippier. So these are your long-term players. So stick on to them, or don't be urged to use any particular chip for 25. That would be the only thing that I would like to add.
Yeah, I think you have to look at your team, right? Who do you want to play? And for example, I know Rashford, I won't sell. I know Trippier, I won't sell, right? For me now, it's Mitoma, assuming I'm going there, right? And I don't get to see anything wrong. I think Mitoma I'll keep, right? So those three are particularly there. Now, on top of it, you have Saw, Botman, right? These are two more players that most of us have. I might play around with those players, though Saw is a bit more risky move. Botman is much more simpler. There's not much of a price gain so far. So I'm willing to take that risk. And so basically, you have to actually take a punt, right, in playing with 9 or 10 because overall it looks good. Or at some point of time, if you're not convinced with someone like Shaw or Botman and you feel that there are better assets there, you take that plunge, right? One thing is there for United defense. After the blank, they go to Liverpool, right, away. They have Southampton at home. Then again, 28th is a blank for them, right? Then they have Newcastle away in 29th and somewhere else, right? So it is sensible to move out of, say, United defense as well and keep just Rashford, right, for now. Obviously, you would have moved from Bruno to somewhere else like KDB or Mahrez or Grealish, somewhere you would have moved. So I might even sacrifice the United defender for a brief period of time and keep that core bench, people who are undroppable for me in the core bench. That's all.
It could be a good swap, as you rightly pointed out for Luke Shaw. You can assess the next 4 game weeks for City, how they are settling in with their defense. As I told, Cancelo is a big miss, but still they have players, though we are not much confident in terms of going to other players, other City defenders in the recent past. Our default option used to be a Cancelo or a Stones or anyone of that sort. If you get to see, watch what is the combination that Pep is going to play in the next few game weeks, 25 could be a good swap, from Luke Shaw to anyone. Let's say Nathan Ake could be a good option. Bournemouth, Newcastle, and Crystal Palace. Pretty good swap over there.
Yeah. I think one thing which is helping us a bit when it comes to City defense, both Cancelo and Stones are out. Stones is, I think, injured now, right? So that pretty much limits, I think, City defenders. They have 4 to 5 players available. So if you are taking a punt, it feels much more secured than earlier days, right? So while they are not looking that great defensively, at the same time, the fixtures look good. For us, say 24, you have Nottingham Forest, 25, you have Bournemouth, 26, Newcastle at home, and then Crystal Palace. Right? So fixtures also look good. And there's much more security now on your City assets. Someone like Akanji, someone like Ake, I feel like they'll play. Right? So you can pick one for sure.
All right. Aditya, anything to add?
I mean, just in to summarize very quickly, I mean, most of the points you guys said is I completely agree. And I just wanted to say that pre-COVID, when things were quite normal, and obviously now we're getting back to normal, so pretty much we're back to the normal state. Pretty much 28 was the week that people used to free it, and then they used to wildcard in 29. Or then, or the other way would be 28 somehow survive with 8-9 players. 29, obviously, if you survive 28, you will have decent amount of players for 29 who will double. And then in 32, you take the free hit, and 33, again, the last run, you wildcard again. So I think the options are back to pretty much the same way how we have played previously. So I think by now, the managers who have played at least for the last, let's say, 4 seasons have pretty much an idea of what they need to do. It's pretty much the same way. I mean, you just look at 2 weeks, 3 weeks in a row and just make your decisions. I think that's how I think we have to look at over the next few weeks.
But the only thing is about wildcard.
Yeah.
Right. Hmm. Only thing is about wildcard. The team looks so set. The template looks so set. I just don't know when to use the wildcard and where do I go? You know, what is the change that I'm going to go make, right? Most of the players look good on form. You know, you have Newcastle players, you have United players, you have City players, right? And maybe you add a couple of Chelsea players. And since you don't have Cancio, you are not going for Liverpool defenders. There's a lot of money in the bank. You don't even playing Salah, right? There's a lot of money in the blank. Almost everyone that you want to get, you are getting via transfers. So I don't know when to use the wildcard. Honestly, the most thing you can
I have 3.5 million in the bank for the last 3 weeks. I really don't know what to do.
Exactly. So at some point of time, I think this tactic might change this year, right? Where people might delay the wildcard, maybe, you know, attack it over the last 4 or 5 games. Or say from now till the game week 28, maybe you have, you know, chopped you out of your team so much that you want to go back to the original team of 22. Right. And that's going to be one way of using the wildcard.
Yes. I mean, even to be honest, whenever I have used wildcard or unlimited transfers, you have hardly limited 3 to 4 moves. That's it. Just making those 20 moves, not taking too much of risk. But I think again, the wildcard will be basically going all out when, you know, we have less time to climb up. I think that's when you'll see a lot of differential teams. And let's see, maybe post 34, 35 game week is when I think most of the managers will try and accelerate if they can. Anyways, we've covered a lot about this. I mean, it's very early to discuss more about 29 and 32 and all. So let's move on to what is going to be right in front of us. Obviously, with deadline looming tomorrow, here are the double game week 22 fixtures. Obviously, with United Leeds doubling. Any games that catch your eye other than the doubles?
I think it would be good to see how Chelsea play, right? We start with Chelsea. There are a lot of new players who are coming.
I was about to say, Chelsea settling in is going to be the key for me, you know, in the next couple of weeks. Given that some of the old, good old assets are coming back fit, you know, in the form of James and Chilwell and whatnot. So I'm waiting to see what happens with Chelsea. How is that Potter is going to tweak the team lineup? Because they have a whole host of players now. I don't know, even if they utilize the entire maximum list of players that they could accommodate. So, how things are going to be with Chelsea? And so, Chelsea-Fulham game is something I'm keen on. But then, of course, the Spurs versus City game. So, that's something which I'd be keen to watch upon.
Huge, huge match. Right. I don't know what Kane does, but if he does something, it really
helps. I know you'll be rooting for Spurs. That's for sure.
I'll be rooting for Spurs. Yeah. But I think the flavor of this week is United assets, right? And everyone will be asking you know, who is our third United asset? Because I think most of the guys have Shaw and Rashford for sure, right? Now that Marcel seems to be fit, like yesterday, Ten Hag spoke so well about Marcel, right? Do we, you know, people who still have Marcel, for example, right? They were perhaps planning a move out of Marcel and bringing in Bruno, right? What do you do now? Do you still stick to him? Do you take a hit and bring in Bruno? What is the plan?
I'm still 99% I'm selling Martial because he's just coming back from injury. You never know if he's going to... he's definitely not playing 180 minutes. That's for sure. I can say that much. He will probably start one game and probably come off the bench the other one. He'll definitely get minutes on both the games. You know, you can expect some sort of rotation there, because you have Vegas now, where we can still rotate. Probably against Palace, it will be like, you know, Vegas would start and then you get on Martial. For Leeds, it could be the other way around, you know, where you can start with Martial and stuff. So, given that sort of a minutes, you know, I'm looking for a person who is guaranteed for minutes. So I might end up selling Martial still and get Bruno Fernandes. So that's my priority. That's where I'm looking at. But if you don't have Martial, then definitely you have Rashford and Luke Shaw. Then, of course, the third obvious choice could be Bruno Fernandes.
People with money problems, right? Do you get someone like Casemiro?
See, Casemiro is chipping in. You know, he has that knack for getting in assists or goals every now and then. But that would be a fast stretch, I would say. Instead, I would rather, you know, suggest someone like Vegas itself. He is also prone to rotation. He could be hooked off early, or he could be subbed on and stuff like that. But still, it is far better in terms of holding a forward rather than someone like a Casemiro.
Aditya, will you go say someone like Antony? I think who's scored well in the cup matches.
Yeah, Antony, I think someone after the World Cup was pretty bad. I think he got something from Ten Hag. Like, I think you need to play and you need to take the ball inside the box rather than doing the trickery outside and then not getting the end product. So I think that's gone right into his head, and we are seeing a bit of more of a mature play from him, right? Not doing the trickery outside and going out, but pulling the players with him and then creating space. So at least we can see that improvement. But yeah, I mean, obviously, I think Fernandes is the best option, because purely that he's going to play 96 minutes, including added time. He's not going to get subbed off. And so that's the only pro for him. And obviously, he's been playing well. And what we have seen with Fernandes, and I think that's Ten Hag, who's very smart, who's understood that Fernandes needs to play every game to maintain his tempo and rhythm and consistency. So that's why he played yesterday. So don't be a bit of concerned that, oh, he's played 90, he may get rested. I don't think so. That will ever happen. Maguire is not on the pitch, so obviously the captain is Fernandes. So you cannot bench your captain.
Okay, let me throw a caveat, probably a devil's advocate here from my end this time. So yeah, I mean, Bruno has played his minutes yesterday as well. And given that we are having like one game every 3-4 days, do you see some sort of rotation at least between these two games? Now, given that, you know, Sancho is back, there's a slight bit of hint from Ten Hag that Sancho could also play the number 10. Hear me out. I know it's not happening.
10 minutes Sancho may play, but I don't see anything more than that, because now with Eriksen also out, right? That is one big blow. With Eriksen right. And Casemiro, you had someone like Eriksen who could actually even go behind, get the ball up front and, you know, create you those chances, which Fernandes used to do when Solskjaer was there. And now you've given Fernandes the also ability to always stay up front and obviously optionally come behind and link up the play. But without Eriksen now, and then you bench Fernandes, you play very depleted midfield. For example, let's say Fred, Casemiro and someone like Sancho. I think you're lost. Maybe Casemiro is someone, yes, who will defend, who will try to link up the defense and attack. But it's bleak. So I don't see that happening. But he could be taken off at 75 or 80 or 85. But I don't see him being benched.
What do you guys feel is the impact of Eriksen on Bruno? Right? Does it help him? Does it negate things? Or how does it work?
It does help him in terms of his offensive play, because he has to contribute more on the offensive now. Probably do that creative job. If you see the
corner
second goal. No, just the second goal last night. He was in the thick of things. You know, he was the one who was creating stuff. So it is positively going to impact on Bruno. But at the same time, there's going to be two impacts. One is that he is going to do all the heavy lifting. At least earlier, there was Eriksen, who could partner, share some responsibilities, you know, be it corners, free kicks, you know. Things get mixed up a little bit so that it could be a bit of ease. On the flip side, on the whole, as a team, United will have a huge impact missing Eriksen. So that is something, you know, it needs to be watched out for.
Okay. I have one final question for you guys. Right. Generally, I have, you know, it's just my bias or memory, right? I see that Bruno always thrives in the Leeds matches, right? Last year, the season opener, I think it was Leeds United and he scored a hat-trick at home, right? And
my captain.
Even in the perfect. So, even in the away matches, he does really well.
Everyone's captain it was, okay? Not my captain.
No, well, no, a lot of us...
Which Sankalp is pointing out, we had majority of the crowd sitting on Salah. He also scored equally.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, now you guys are facing Leeds at home this match, right? Next match, again, you have Leeds away, right? And that's when people are looking to sell, you know, Bruno and go to KDB. Now, I'm thinking, okay, post that, I think you guys are facing Leicester or something, right? So, again, a good match, if I remember well, right? My point is, who do you think will benefit more out of the Leeds matches? Is it going to be someone like Rashford or Bruno? Or do you feel that, you know, maybe sticking to Bruno makes sense over the next two game weeks rather than, you know, just playing that hokey-pokey with KDB?
So for me, at least, it is definitely a medium-term hold with Bruno. You don't have to, you know, jump back to KDB because we haven't seen KDB getting into the thick of things, right? At least if you want to explore, you can go to someone like a Mahrez who looks much better, a lot more cheaper. You can sacrifice a different player in that particular 8 million segment probably if you have. For me, in my case, I still hold on to someone called Kulusevski. So that kind of a route you can take. You know, so definitely, in short, Bruno is definitely a medium-term hold for me. He has got good fixtures, rightly mentioned, you know, that there are some positive impacts in terms of Eriksen being missed out and stuff, and the fixtures, of course.
Perfect. So, you are pretty much open to, you know, taking Bruno and hold, you know, hold on him, right?
Oh, what yeah, definitely.
Aditya, what do you think?
Yeah, my thinking is pretty much also the same. KDB, yes, I think he probably needs time to sit back to the KDB that we have seen. He's struggling. Obviously, some games he is playing extraordinary, but the points are not turning up. That's unfortunate. We can't help. That's how Fantasy Premier League is at the moment. But other than that, I would say getting in Bruno now is again, obviously, you're attacking this week and it makes sense. And you need to look what is right in front of you rather than, oh, if I get in Bruno, I will not get KDB. And all. That's fine. You take your 20 points, whatever 10 points he gives you now, get away. Be happy with that. But other than that, as what Suresh said, I completely agree. My planning at the moment is just looking at this. If I get in Fernandes for KDB, next week I get rid of Almiron for Mahrez. Because I felt against Wolves, Mahrez looked better, threatening. He scored a goal, it was offside also. And but what I always get trapped here is that we don't know what Pep is going to end up with. That is the fear everybody has. It is a little tiny fear, even though we are all gloating, say, Mahrez is excellent, he's been playing well. Obviously, boom, Pep will drop it. And be like, he played so well, why is he benched? I don't know, he will not give you the answer. That fear everyone has, because we are not certain who's going to play. Only one, that's why it's KDB, because you are certain he's going to play. But obviously, to look at the other side, we need points, we need to attack. So that's why that hokey-pokey game will go on.
Understood. Cool. I think we've spoken a lot, right? Like, let's go to the next segment.
Well, whoa.
Captaincy and triple captaincy,
that's
right?
That's the triple captain debate. Obviously, we have two players on the right who are pretty much in headlines for this week. And the next week is obviously Erling Haaland based on the amount of rest he will get and all those things looming around. So what do you think, guys? What to do?
For me, it is like triple captain. If you take the stats per se, I think around 30% of players have, 30% of the managers have used triple captain already. That's most likely goes on to Haaland a couple of game weeks back. But for me, there are two best chances or you know, in the near future. One is, of course, this week and the next week on Haaland, as we have rightly have the pictures here. For me, it is the United boys, you know, given the form and the home games and relatively easier fixtures compared to what Haaland. Still, Haaland could do the damage. You know, it is Aston Villa
in the
and,
first match.
Yeah, especially in the first match. And the second match, of course, is going to be tricky. You know, it's going to be against the title winner. So that's give or take what he could get out of that. So yeah, for me, in short, it's pretty simple, man. There's so much of talking on this. I would still pick this particular week with United. Either Bruno or Rashford.
Who are you going with if you're going to use your TC chip? Have you thought of it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm most likely going to go with Bruno. You know, that's the reason I throw that caveat question against Aditya, you know, to see what perspective he has. So for me, it is going to be Bruno. I know Rashford is red hot form, but for me, it is going to be Bruno just for the few aspects. One is probably the minutes, given that Eriksen is not there. He's going to be the art key man. He has to be there, you know. And the tiniest possibilities of penalties. We haven't got a single penalty this season, Aditya, right? If I'm not wrong, we haven't got one penalty this season.
I don't remember, because I can't remember. But I'm going to blame Jurgen Klopp for this. Because he came out in one of the press conferences to say that VAR always gives penalties to Manchester United. See, what has happened now? We are not getting even Stonewall crap penalties now. It's gone to that extent.
Yeah, man. Okay. These are my factors. So Bruno is most likely my guy for triple captain this week.
Triple captain. Okay. Aditya, are you using the chip?
Yes, I'm going to use this chip. As I said at the start, I don't know when we were live or not. I'm going to go aggressive this week. I don't care. And obviously, with United playing, bias is on full 1000% at the moment. And obviously, we have been playing well. We need to capitalize. At least for once, we are feeling okay. We'll at least get something at the end of it. So that's the reason I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Rashford. Bruno, yes, he may end up outscoring too. But obviously, set pieces is something else. But I have a slight feeling that in the absence of Eriksen is where it is concerning me a bit, that Fred and Bruno will have to, you know, play a bit of little partnership, and we might see Fred advancing a bit more than Fernandes at some instances too. So that's why I'm going with Rashford, but I could change, but at the moment it's on Rashford.
I think it's a good diversity. So Suresh is using the triple captain chip with Bruno. You are going there with Rashford. I think I'm...
So you're going with Haaland next week.
No, I'm not going to do that. So I'm just going to sit back. I feel like there's so many, you know, double game weeks coming, right? You never know where the opportunity comes out. Ideally, I would have liked to put it on Rashford. I don't think there's any wrong answer. Rashford is a guy on form. You have two good fixtures. And I know especially the Leeds match would be a good high-scoring one. It's just that I find it so difficult to trust Rashford with the captaincy chip itself, right? So going triple captain feels like a bit more step. You know, it's outside my comfort zone with Rashford. I know he'll play well, but you never know whether he's the guy who scores, right? So that's the reason I know that he'll give me points. I don't know. I know he'll give me points. He'll give you 10 to 12 points, right? For sure.
That's
I'm very
that's
confident.
2 or 3 points more than Haaland. 30% of the people.
But you know that greed, right? You want a guy who can really, you know, take you close to 60 points. Last year, we took Salah not in form and he gave us 84 points on a double game week, right? So that's the kind of, you know, thought. I know for sure Rashford will not take me to 84. Right.
Just a question, Sandeep. So, if not 22 or 23, your next possible bet could be somewhere in 37, right? That, I mean, a wild guess at this point of time, because I don't see you using in 29. That's going to be the biggest double game week. I would probably imagine you would go with some, you know, something like a bench boost or a wild card, you know, something of that sort. So, any particular standalone game week, where a mini double game week or a string of teams, I would imagine 37, but that's way too long. We never know what's going to be the fixtures looking like. So,
34 looks good as well for City. 34 looks good as well for City. I think they are playing Bournemouth and Southampton, something like that. Right. So, that's the one I've earmarked for now. I know it's very long, but at the same time, to be honest, I don't rate triple captain system very, very high. I plan a lot for the, you know, wild card, for the bench boost, right? And free hit, generally, I don't use it in blank game weeks. I use it in double game weeks to see how can I exploit something, right? So that's how I play. PC chip, I don't plan so much, but so far, just a slight tinge of, something in my heart is saying, hey, don't do it now. Why don't you wait and see if something better comes up? So that's how I'm going to sit and
All
see
right,
how
fair
much,
enough.
how far
Yeah.
below in my OR I'll go. That's what I have to see now.
That was what I was going to say, because what happens is, right, at the end, sometimes catching up gets too late. That what we have seen, obviously, over the last maybe, let's say, maybe the last spell from 36 to 38, because 36 is normally again game week wherein we have got doubles before. And sometimes it's like, oh, this a lot I need to expect in these 3 weeks, and I hope I get that and all. And I think this season, obviously, people are struggling. Most of us are stuck between 500K and a mil. We are like, okay, fine. I'm just going to wing it at this point. Like, you give me points, fine. You blank, fine. So many managers also captain, so it's fine. And that's what we
I'll
learned
take
so
9 points,
far.
man. That's all I take. If you beat Haaland from last double game week, that's fine. You're still sitting on a pretty decent gain, about 30% of the managers. I see somewhere around 40% or 50% of the managers using the triple captainship this week. Given that, again, it's United boys, there's hell a lot of managers who are United supporters as well. So there's that bit of a bias as well. So possibly you could see a lot of managers using it this week.
Okay, then, so I think Suresh needs to drop off now. So very quickly, we are going to skip past the Q&A for now. We are going to go to Suresh's team right up front so that he can walk us through what he's going to do one last time.
So for
Let's
me, it
go to
is
that.
pretty simple. I have two free transfers. It's going to be KDB and Martial out for Bruno and Kane. So that's the thinking currently. So I might take a minus four. That's something which I'm, still contemplating about
Where?
whether to take Kulusevski probably. So take out and get in someone like a Saka. That's something I'm thinking about. No,
Makes sense.
but the.
Makes sense.
Just going a 1 week early for the Arsenal assets.
Correct, correct. I think that
I
makes
think
sense.
I would suggest you not to remove only Martial. If you want to do,
I
just go for
don't
it.
know, but the problem
He
is I
may
can't get
come off the
Bruno.
bench and score a goal in both the games. You don't know.
Oh yeah,
Martial is very unpredictable.
he's.
That's the problem.
To be honest, what I feel is there's a good probability he starts the Leeds match, right?
He may score
Exactly,
one.
yeah. That's going to be a high-scoring match. He might take away all the points from everyone else. No, the problem is I could leave Martial had I had another slot for United. That's the only problem. I already have three United, so the only possible way I could get Bruno is by removing Martial. I don't see any other option. Probably I should get rid of Luke Shaw in that case. Going all attack. That's the worst case idea that I can think of. Maybe that's an option, given that now you guys throw a spanner in the work. I'll think about that. All
Then
right,
I can
guys.
let
I'll
perfect.
leave it at
Yeah.
that. Probably sorry to leave early, but I have to catch
No
up
problem.
with something else. Okay. See you guys. All the best. Take care.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, sorry, Suresh. Sankalp is going to be still there for the last section. Then we'll wrap it
Bye
up
bye
very
bye.
quickly in about 10 minutes. Okay, then, so I think we'll cover up our teams and then we'll move on to Q&A. So we'll be very quick. So I'm going back to your team.
Got Ferguson in, got screwed. I will go to Eddie perhaps in the coming week, but this week I'm planning to sell Almiron to Mitoma and play him instead of Ferguson. I want to have one Brighton guy because they look really, really strong in attack. So he'll be my guy for this week. Next week I might do some hokey pokey to do Ferguson to Eddie, and I'll sell someone to get me, I'll sell White to get me someone else. That's the plan. I still have some money. I think I should be able to manage. And the idea is to keep Bruno for as things stand now for me. I don't want to play around with KDB. So again, one thing I'll have to look at is whether I can get another City attack. I'm looking at a strong hit perhaps next week, but as long as it keeps paying, I'm okay.
Well, in my case, at the moment, because I'm not locked in my team yet, I mean, made the transfers. So I'm going to obviously KDB to Fernandes and Mitrovic to Nketiah is what I'm thinking for this week, so that I have triple Arsenal all set for next week. And next week, I'm looking probably at shipping out Doherty to maybe Ake or someone, is what I'm thinking at this point. And then just keep Almiron. I think because Newcastle's next two games are still not that bad on paper, because they play obviously West Ham this week and Bournemouth away. So I don't want to end up wasting the transfer to ship out Almiron, where I have to put out fires in some other places. Obviously, transferring out Doherty is the sensible one. So that's what is my probably plan even for next week. So this is what my team is going to do. And yeah, I'm 99% sure I'm going to triple captain Rashford. So that's how it is.
Perfect. Let's go to Q&A then.
Yes. So let's go to Q&A. Let me get up the questions off on the screen. So at first, we'll go straight up to anyone Rashford triple captain. Yes, we did discuss it finally. And it's going to be me. I'm not. He's going to go with Bruno. And another one is Rodrigo replacement. So
for me, it's Mitoma. Right. But if you want, I think someone like Grealish can come out very strong. I have a feeling about Grealish is looking better every game week. Foden has just not picked up so far. So he might be your, punt, or he might be your differential move. But I think Mitoma feels like such a straightforward option, right? Forget the blank. He looks good for another 4-5 weeks other than that.
I think maybe Odegaard may be one of the picks, I would say.
Yeah. If you don't have
him. If you don't have him, he's just 0.5 more. And I think, obviously, you will not get somebody who plays double this week, but you'll have someone who plays next week, and obviously they play Everton this week, so there's a fair chance that Arsenal, will play well. It's just in case I said that, because obviously a new manager and new manager bounce we have seen has been very weird. So obviously I think Odegaard has been playing well, although his numbers have kind of not been shining in terms of the so-called statistic numbers that people look at saying, oh, it's not up to the mark and all, but still he's someone who's good. So I think it was just 0.5 more. Obviously, it makes sense to go for him. Looking at another one here. This is the next one. If you've already used your free hit in game week 12, would holding triple captain for a later Haaland double game week work?
I think so. I mean, free hit, taking out a free hit is now a bit very risky, right? Because you have a lot of blanks, double game weeks, etc. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, chip is all about who you feel will give you maximum points, right? So, do you feel Rashford will score more than Haaland, right? I just feel it's a bit difficult. Haaland can score a hat-trick on a single game week, right? And just change things. The guy already has 25 goals. So, for me, this is a season where Haaland is the, best guy for a triple captaincy. If you want to save on it, I don't think there's any, mistake as such. It's just that we just have to see that his minutes don't look compromised at some point later. As long as the title fight is going on, I think Haaland will keep playing, and that's one thing that might go into our favor. Right?
It's pretty obvious of what we're going to expect from Man City at this point. I think let's go on to the next question. Which premium would you keep excluding Haaland for 4 or 5 weeks? I think that is only one guy who comes up to my mind straight away, and we did speak about him at the start. That's Harry Kane, obviously.
I agree. I think he's looking good. He's such a hold player for me. I've just got him back and I'm like, okay, I'm not selling him again, for sure.
Let's go to the next one. It's if Rodrigo is injured, he's definitely ruled out for 2 months. That's till April. Who should I start? Botman, me, or Solomon March?
I think it's between Botman and me. Both of them look, I think, have home games. But you just have to trust Newcastle defense more, right? I'm playing Botman. I don't want to take that risk. Every time you drop Botman, you put him on your bench, he'll give you a clean sheet, right? Otherwise, if you have had Botman, just play him.
Yeah, I think it's an edge for Botman for me over me, obviously, because I think they play Southampton, and Southampton are very unpredictable. they may end up just scoring 2-3 past Brentford. You may not even expect, so we don't know. So let me see if I can see another one. We have this is a follow up. So let's put up this one here. I'll put up the first one. Will you transfer out KDB for Bruno? The con for this is KDB, obviously, as a double.
I think most of us are doing that.
Yes, and I think next we have this, the follow up, I think, for that. Rodrigo Almiron, I think, because he already has Rodrigo. So Rodrigo Almiron, Mitrov, Bruno Mitoma, Noto. That ends up keeping KDB. Option 2 is KDB, Rodrigo Mitrovic out, Noto, Mahrez, Bruno in. Kane, Rodrigo Almiron. I think the sideways move to Mahrez is not sensible straight away.
Correct. For this week, at least, I don't think you can. You might get a lot of points, but seems a bit difficult, right? From Mahrez. Why do that, right? The third option is Kane. He's selling out Kane for Saka and Bruno. And a 6.5 million forward. I don't know whether it's Eddie because he's now 6.7. Right? Hmm. I really like the first option because he is getting to keep both KDB and Bruno. And you can take a call 2 weeks later, perhaps. Right?
There is another option also, which I'm going to pin it up now. It's KDB, Mitro, Mitoma. Mitoma? Out to Mitoma again? I don't know what went wrong there. I think Almiron, maybe, I'm guessing. To Mitoma, Eddie and Bruno. I think I would still fancy option one again because if you can somehow manage to keep KDB in, obviously you have an edge over others who actually shipped out KDB for Bruno. So I think that is something sensible, I think. But that's option one is pretty much a sensible one as far as I've seen. And will you bring in Eddie for Kane?
I just consider him such a, set and forget move guy. I just don't want to do it for sure.
Okay, I think we've addressed all the questions so far. And
there is one question on Rodrigo injury. Is it true, etc.? Rodrigo, the injury is now confirmed by Leeds United on Leeds United website itself. So there's no escaping it. 2 months he's out. And so, if you have him, I think you have to move out.
I think it's always when Rodrigo starts playing well, he gets injured. That's so unfortunate. And we've been seeing right at the start this season, he was playing very well and he got injured again. So, it's been very unfortunate with him. So, obviously, for potential, I said many people were looking at him for this week. And now, I think we'll end up going without Leeds. And I know a lot of managers who did get in Rodrigo 2-3 weeks before, at least 4 weeks before. Or maybe thinking like, Leeds may get a double sometime in a few weeks. Now, they have to waste a transfer to ship him out. Okay. So, yeah, that's a hard luck, I would say, at this point.
We didn't speak about this guy. Do you feel Bamford will come back as an option, potential forward option for this week at least?
I think in the game week 22 players to target, there was Bamford right in the middle. I did put up Bamford. But again, I think with him, again, I think it's wait and watch, I would say. Leeds are very unpredictable. They play good football, but somehow something goes against them and they are not able to get the results and things go on the side track. But other than that, I think Bamford, I think he will need time to be back so that he can return consistently. Obviously, he has to build up his fitness, but maybe a good shout for this week if anybody wants to take a punt.
Yeah, if you're looking for a short-term punt, they play Nottingham and United, both away matches. But I feel like, Leeds is a team who will score in every match. They might concede a hell lot more, but they will score one or two, right? And Bamford looks fit as per the coach comment. So, can be a punty move. In case you guys are looking for a punty move, especially in the forward line, right? Bamford can come out as someone, really good, at least on the short-term.
Okay, I'm going to pin up. This is the last question for now, unless we get more questions. But Dalot on over here. So the news that he's back in training now, would you sell for sure or keep Dalot and roll the free transfer? I already have Rashford and Fernandes. I don't think Dalot is going to play. I don't think so.
He won't play both the matches, even if he does play, right? Again, you have Wan-Bissaka in such a good form.
Yeah, it's become... Wan-Bissaka has played well. And he's starting to do unexpected things that United fans didn't expect in the first place. He's starting to play well. So that's the thing. I think he will not rush the low back in. Obviously, you need to be careful with such an injury. Obviously, he did come back and he got injured again. So,
Saul is attracting a lot of bonus points as well, right?
Yeah. I think at the start of the season, we had a very different debate of the low versus Shaw. And Ivan Shaw, if I take a quick look, I think I got Luke Shaw in game week 12. And since then, he's been in my team.
I got him this time on a wild card, on the post-World Cup wild card. It's a very sensible move. I think you don't have to overthink it because Dalo has not played for some time. You will not be able to utilize that double gimmick for sure. He won't play both the matches. And he might have his minutes in check as well in the upcoming 2-3 matches. Right. So, Saw is such a good fit. Makes sense to just go there.
Yes, but again, it's someone who... I mean, you're wasting a transfer to get in for someone who's this week. Again, in the next few weeks, he'll have blanks and also you need to decide and see whether it's fine. I'll just go with double United attack and I'll get someone like maybe Ake or someone who might give me that extra fixture later than me wasting another transfer to shipping in now. So that's something you need to think. And I think that pretty much brings us to the end of this episode. I don't think we have much to cover here. We've covered up everything that's needed. We've covered a lot about United, how Game Week 21 went, what we expect from 22, fixture planning, triple captain debate, and our bus teams, and we've answered all the questions. So, any last words, Sarkar, before we wind it up?
No, I mean, looking forward to the next 2 weeks, right? One of them will have a City-Arsenal match as well. But two back-to-back doubles. So a lot of your decisions, right? One of those punts, if you are taking, might help you a lot in gaining ranks. You know, something like a Bruno triple captaincy, or next week getting in someone like Mahrez or Grealish, right? So don't get, you know, head zoned into a certain move just because everyone else is making. Have a look around. You might get something, you know, nice, attractive. Might come out as a very strong differential. Just have a look around before you make your moves. Even someone with single game weeks like Mitoma might give you a lot of points. So think a lot before you make that move, mostly tonight.
Well, that's it. That brings us to the end of episode 22. Don't forget the deadline is going to be tomorrow, as we have a Friday night game. I think that's Chelsea against Fulham. So don't forget to lock in your transfers. And that brings us to the end. Hopefully, we covered up everything what's needed for this week. Do drop us a like and subscribe and ratings also on our audio platforms, Spotify and I think Apple Podcasts. We'll see you all next week before Game Week 23. We'll see how actually Triple Captain actually turns out to go. And we'll discuss the Man City assets for one who is going to end up playing with more information. So, yeah. Big just the end. Cool. Hopefully you have a great gaming 22, and yeah, we'll see you next week.